Sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavaditamastoma vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So page 17. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Hare Kirtanam Nisham Yapatan Katam Bhutasya Bhartur Nama Bruvataha. The order carriers of Lord Vishnu came because Ajamil had chanted the holy name of Narayana. They did not consider why he was chanting. Right? So that's the important thing. It's not why you're chanting, just that you chanted the holy name. That's the whole thing that they're looking for. Right? So now, who are the Vishnudutas? Right? The devotees. So the devotees are only interested that you're chanting. Why you're chanting, that's not the main consideration. It can be, you know, for improving the quality of your service and everything like that. But whether that you're connected to the Lord, simply you're chanting, you're connected.
Is there embedded in the word chanting, is there a mood embedded in that word? Sometimes we hear devotees say, are you really chanting?
And then you ask them, says, and what do you think?
I don't know, that's why I asked.
And then you say, define really chanting.
Yeah, define really.
Yeah, define really. Are you really asking this question?
That's the one. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah,
so that's that. No, the point is you're chanting, you're connected, and then within that there's quality. Just like in the spiritual world, everybody is situated in the platform of prema, but then there's levels of that or tastes of that. Right? So since we're interested in pure unalloyed, then there's certain things that go along with that. But it's not this idea, well, it's not, you know, how you say? The Vaishnava process doesn't go on, you're either first or last.
No.
Yeah. You know, there's gradation. Yes.
Sometimes, like, there is a consideration by are you chanting, like, at least I see like that in the cases of deviant Vaishnavas, Sampradaya.
Well, that's there because they haven't heard from the proper line and everything. They're not chanting in the proper way. Does that make sense? You know, they're committed to, he's not committed to bogus philosophy. He's just bogus, right? You know, he's not making a philosophy out of it. But those who are committed to a bogus philosophy, now that's something different. But the whole point is it's also, you know, how it's bogus and stuff like that. They're just overly attached and trying to, what do you call that? It starts with an R, that you rationalize it. You understand? That's one thing. So that's not proper, but it's another thing is that your whole concept of it is completely wrong. It's not sampradaya. Does that make sense?
He was like innocent person.
On one level, you could say spiritually, yes, he's an innocent person. Other than that, socially, he's a bit. Yeah. That would be stretching it to say he's innocent. Though it would probably fly in some of the more contemporary environments. No, he's just a, what do you call it? the victim of the modern socialists. He's just they've formed him this way. They've made him this way. So what can we do?
Compared to modern society, he's not really that bad. He's with the same woman for a long time. That's pretty good.
That's true. And yeah, all the things that he says he would do, that's pretty standard also. If you're on the way a big corporate businessman, and nowadays, because we look at corporate for management things, actually we should learn many things from Ajahn. Yeah, he doesn't seem to be so worried about Varnashram either, like that. He's not fanatic,
Open-minded and accommodating.
Yes. He'll cheat anybody. He sees everybody equally. Yes.
You see, this story, it's always the question of sincerity. Mm-hmm. So, hellish planets, they kind of
invoke sincerity. Stimulate sincerity.
Yeah, but this one, it can be taken a bit cheaply. So we all chanting, so why should we really, really force ourselves into, doing devotional service more and more and more, if only once you chant and Vishnu Duttas are there?
Yeah, but that's Vishnu Duttas.
Those guys, the second ones, they're also there.
Yeah, but so you want to go through that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, then that's the inspiration. Plus, you see, he had to continue here afterwards. Mm. He had to get serious.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of whether you get serious now or you get, a visit from some individuals that they have their ways to make you serious, Yeah, that'd be interesting, right? The Yamadutas speak German, right? We have our ways.
Wir haben unsere Methoden.
We will make you sincere. You hear that in German?
Du wirst dich sincere machen.
Yes, so if you want to hear all this, then you don't get it together. Otherwise, then.
We can make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yes. Little Italian connection.
Yes.
Sure.
They were friends during the Second World War.
They were. Yes. Whatever it takes. No, it means it's bringing out this so we understand the position. It means all devotees are special. Just within special, there's more special, most like this. That's the whole thing. So the point is since it's about Krishna, means for us to say, it doesn't matter, then it's still about ourselves. So it's not a very developed. So the point is that even in an undeveloped state, then the devotional service is so special. Right? But if you really want to get something from, then you have to make that endeavor. So, while chanting the name of Narayana, Ajamil was actually thinking of his son. But simply because they heard Ajamil chanting the Lord's name, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, immediately came for Ajamil's protection. Hari Kirtana is actually meant to glorify the holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities of the Lord. Ajamil, however, did not glorify the form, qualities, or paraphernalia of the Lord. He simply chanted the holy name. Nevertheless, that chanting was sufficient to cleanse him of all sinful activities. Right. So this is bringing out the glory of the holy name. Right. Yes.
So basically, by that chanting, he came to the Brahma Buddha platform. He didn't develop any relationship with.
No. It's still a neutral state. Mm-hmm. So you would say but for the amount of purification and all that, it means you have the Brahma Buddha and that he's liberated, but it basically brought him to the position of Nishta. Yeah, that's where he was functioning from. Because then we'll see later in the chapter, then you can see his developing of Nishta, Ruchi, and Asakti. It'll come out in the verses. Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. But you could say, as he accomplished a Narta Nivriti.
Yeah.
Like that. So it's just a matter, he's aware of it, he's focused on it. All devotees, that's happening, but like it said before,
due to, you know, habit or that, we still consider ourselves conditioned. Even though we may be purified, we still act as if we are. So that's where the desire, the attachment, these things are. You know, we're just used to that. That's our habit. So then that's why associating with devotees who have a different mentality of that, then we start to change. Otherwise, the tendency will just go on how we are and just go that way. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the next life, you start from that level, right?
Yes, basically, like that.
Srila Sukadev Goswami continues. The order carriers of Yamaraj were snatching the soul from the core of the heart. Footnote 16. Materialistic scientists do not know where to find the soul within the body with their material instruments. But this verse clearly explains that the soul is within the core of the heart, Hridaya. It is from the heart that the Yamadutas were extracting the soul of Ajamil. 31st purport. Srila Prabhupada comments. A Vaishnava, one who has surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, of Lord Vishnu, is always protected by Lord Vishnu's order carriers. Because Ajamil had chanted the holy name of Narayana, the Vishnu Dutas not only immediately arrived on the spot, but also at once ordered the Yamadutas not to touch him. By speaking with resounding voices, the Vishnu Dutas threatened to punish the Yamadutas if they continued trying to snatch Ajamil's soul from his heart. Right, because they're much stronger, because they're order carriers of Vishnu. Yamaraj is powerful, right? So he has control over all conditioned souls within this universe, right, who are not devotees. But anyone who's a devotee, then the Vishnu Dutas are there. So they're more powerful, right? So we see here is that they're more powerful than Yamaraj's assistants, and he controls everybody. And we see in the pastime with the Narayanjwar and Shivajwar, then Narayanjwar can overpower the Shivajwar, so that means more powerful than his Shiva's servants. So Krishna is the most powerful. And Brahma, you know, we always see things going on there. Krishna's more in a stronger position.
Right, we don't hear any details about Ajamila being a sampradaya devotee or initiated by someone.
No.
He was just a Brahman.
That, what is there before, I've heard some more detail, I'm not sure where it's from. But I've heard the detail of that him being situated in how he was very pukka, you know, did everything very properly, so they were high-grade Brahmins. He was married. You know, he had a dependent mother and father who were old and needed to be taken care of. That's the situation he was in. Then he became attracted by the prostitute and left them. So it even makes the situation a little worse.
Yeah.
You know, makes him look more of a rat bag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've also heard it said that Narad Muni came to him when his last son was born and recommended he name him Narayan.
Yeah, just a friendly advice.
Yeah, just some friendly advice, yes. So in that way you can say he's been connected and he's heard the name from the Sampradaya, though he's not a Sampradayic devotee as such, at least from this part.
Yeah.
Maybe earlier, maybe he was. It doesn't say what kind of position he was in. We only know Brahminical so that there's the Vedic, but whether he had any further, that it doesn't mention. Because that's not important for this story, right? So that's what needs to be here, is that the Vedic stories, they'll bring out the details that are important for that one story. So sometimes you hear there's two or three stories, you think they're all different stories, they're actually one story. But because you're bringing out different aspects, they don't bring out the detail in another story. You know, like you've heard the story of the I think it's the leper who had, you know, his wife, but he was very attracted by a particular prostitute.
Yeah.
Right, we've heard that story.
Yeah.
That's just to bring out that there's no difference. So you know, you know, it's like the vegetable is there in a gold bowl or in an iron bowl. It's still going to taste the same. Right. So her point was is the interaction between man and woman. It's going to be the same. It doesn't matter what the form of the woman looks like.
Mm-hmm.
That's just external. That's just in your mind. You think this is better. But actually, the feminine interaction, masculine, these are potencies that are beyond the form of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's that story. Then we've heard the story of how you say, how the chaste woman stopped the sun,
yeah,
right, from rising, like that. Mm. Does that make sense? You know, because the husband had been cursed that he'll die when the sun rises. So she said, well, the sun won't rise. Okay. So by the potency of her chastity, the sun couldn't get into his chariot. He was like frozen there. And so everybody's getting worried. And so then, you know, the demigods come, this, that. They eventually, Brahma comes. And then he says, you know, hey, you have to let the sun rise. Otherwise, all the living entities in the universe will die. You know, and her point is, that's your problem, your Brahma. Your problem is all the universe. My problem is my husband. So I'm taking care of my husband. You take care of your job. Don't get in the way of my job. Right? So then he agrees, okay. So then by the curse, you know, out of the respect for the sages, out of respect for Brahma, you know, let the sun rise, let him die, and I'll bring him back to life in a youthful body without the leprosy and all this and that. So, okay, that's a better standard. So then that happens, right? So we know that story,
yeah.
Right? Then we've also heard the story of Mandukya Muni, right, where he has poked the ant or whatever, and then he was, you know, got impaled on a stake, and Yamaraj, they brought, you know, that all happened. So he went to Yamaraj and said, hey, you know, this is not right, and then cursed him so that he became Vidura, right? Right. So we've heard these because they're bringing out different points. In other words, the one is what is the responsibility of the individual, the chastity of the wife, the power of chastity, you know, responsibility, the, you know, not being distracted by the senses and all these different things like this, you know, and that, it's all one story. That is all one story. It's just different parts of the same story. So in other words, the husband goes there. But then Mandukya Muni, because he was in the ashram and he was in meditation, the thieves came into his ashram. He didn't see them. The constables came and caught them and just thought he's one of these charlatan yogis who's actually a thief, just puts on the air. So they brought him, and he was, because he didn't talk. He was in samadhi, so they impaled him on the stake, so he didn't even notice that, right? Yeah, that's deep meditation. So then when after the program with the prostitute in the morning, when early, then the wife is carrying that leper husband back, because the leprosy, all the wounds and that smell so bad, then that wakes up Mandukya Muni. Right? Being impaled by the stake didn't wake him up, but the smell did. You know, so that was bad. So then he cursed. He thinks he's in his ashram. And so then where will those smells come in his ashram unless the demons are there throwing, you know, stool and urine and pus and all the things that they like to do. You know, so he cursed whoever's making this smell that they'll die before the sunrise. You know? You understand? It's all one story. Yeah. But
where is that mentioned?
It's all in different places. Oh. But it's just, if you look at, they're all the same references.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just that the point is that's the Vedas will bring out a certain aspect to just bring this. So we won't hear this here. Those other parts will be told in other Puranas or other areas or in other, you know, commentaries or different things like that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all the stories are all, that's the thing, they're so interrelated, all the stories. That, you know, I think Prabhupada said only, what's his name? Jadarani could kind of like understand a bit how they all fit. You know, someone asked, well, what about all the dynasties here? Said, no, it says only Jadarani can remember all that. It's really, really complicated. So,
Maharaj, in Bhagavatam, it's only one story about devotional service.
Yes, so they only bring out that aspect that's necessary there. Like Prahlad Maharaj, we only hear here, but we see in the Nrisimha Purana, then it talks about how, you know, so we see that the glories of the pure devotee and all that. But then in the Nrisimha Purana, we see the glory of just the same thing like Ajamil.
Yes.
He was a young boy, you know, who was, you know, how you say, interested in a girl. then took the girl, also a prostitute, you know, out to the forest. They're looking for a place to sit and spend their time. So they see kind of an area, but it's a bit dirty, so they clean it up and all that and that, and then they're sitting there. And then something happens, you know, and so then they get so angry that they don't talk to each other, they don't eat, they don't sleep. So he stays up the whole night like this, you know, just sitting there, you know, that kind of thing, you know. And so, and then the next birth, that person was Prahlad Maharaj, because the temple that they cleaned was a Nrisimha temple, and the day that they got upset was Nrisimha Chaturdasi, so he fasted the whole day and stayed up the whole night. I'm not sure. She doesn't seem to feature in the story. She may have left. Yeah, that's the only thing. I think he just sat there, but I don't know. So that means he was really attached to, one, make for them to get such an argument, and two, that he just wouldn't eat or sleep for 24 hours, basically. So, you know, that's a really attached guy. You know, but if it's directed at the Lord, then you see the benefit you got. So we only hear that much. But now the story is how he's in that position before, that we don't hear. Like Narad Muni, we hear about him as the son of a maidservant, but we don't hear about how, you know, he as Narad Muni got cursed, that therefore he took birth as the Gandharva and then as the maidservant. You know, so that's the whole thing. The stories just keep going. That's why we have 400,000 verses. But the original amount of verses is a billion. So in there, all the little details of all the stories. It probably will even tell you, you know, what spicing was in the sabji that they were eating, right? You know, so.
It's important.
Yes, but I mean, we get freaked out when it's just talking about, you know, the nice lake, and then there's these lotuses, and this kind, and that one, and these ones open the moon, and that open the sunlight, and bees were like this, and there were these kind of bees, and that bees, and then there's the trees, and like that, and come on, let's have the story here, you know, so we haven't gotten down to, you know, what Maharaj Shibi is going to eat his lunch, but then what's the menu, how they cooked it, who cooked it, you know, what was going on in the kitchen, you know, like that, you know, so that's in the... That's in the 1 billion verse Puranas. Yes, yes. You know, otherwise we'd lose interest really quickly. Okay. Okay, verses 32 to 55. And is this bewilderment of the Yamadutas the? Or the bewilderment of the Yamadutas.
No. I'll ask them for his comments.
Yes. I mean, it'd be more dramatic if we moved the and centered it off of bewilderment of the Yamadutas. That would be really serious. Okay. Recognizing the Vishnudutas to be highly elevated celestial beings, the Yamadutas wonder why they are being obstructed from executing their authorized duties, right? Their duties are authorized. This man is sinful, right? Why are such celestial, elevated, obviously, you know, advanced personalities stopping them from, one, their duties in general, just you don't stop someone else doing the duties, and two, taking this sinful man for, you know, retribution. Right? So it just doesn't make sense to them. You know, if they come up and ask him what time it is, or, you know, which way it is, the time, you know, can you direct him to where's Times Square or something. That you can make, you know, you'd understand. But they're not doing that. Right?
And it was the first time.
Yes, and this was the first time.
So when was it? Which yuga?
When you need to know the yuga. Exact, you know, no, like Thursday afternoon at 3:47.
Because he was quite fallen, and usually we say that in Satya Yuga, the position was much better.
Well, you had to have the basically more the Varnashram in place, so it had to be Treta on down. I think it'll mention later. I think you get into the Yugas or something later. But you would expect it to be, you know, Treta on down. It doesn't mention specifically. We've also heard the name Ajamil means that which has never happened before, that which will never happen again. You know, so that's why we shouldn't think, well, hey, I like, you know.
I can,
no,
no, I can totally do this.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
All your kids Narayan.
I don't care if it's a girl. It's Narayan.
Yeah. Narayan 1, Narayan 2, Narayan 3. Yeah.
Interesting. He was named like that by his parents. It's a nickname afterwards.
Which?
Ajamil. It has never happened before.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
They weren't too happy with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we hear those, you know, most unfortunate or whatever, crooked. And, like, who would name their kid like that?
They thought he's so extraordinary, so therefore they gave him that name.
It's kind of like there's this restaurant called Unforgettable Pizza. They don't say why it's unforgettable.
Yes, yes. Whether it's the worst experience in your life or the best or the weirdest looking, you know, pizza. You know, it's square. You know, like that. The only they bring. To roll the pizza, they bring in new people every day, you know, so, that, you know, it looks like, you know, Australia or it looks like Texas, or, you know, like that. Thus, the Yamadutas and Vishnudutas have a discussion about dharma, material nature, the laws of fruit of action, and the proper administration of punishment. Okay. When the order carriers of Yamaraj, the son of the sun god, were thus forbidden, they replied, "Who are you, sirs, that have the audacity to challenge the jurisdiction of Yamaraj?" Dear sirs, right, so they're speaking respectfully, one, because that's just the etiquette, but two, if they're powerful enough to stop them, they must be in some position, so that, you know, therefore, you know. You. Okay. Dear sirs, whose servants are you? Where have you come from, and why are you forbidding us to touch the body of Ajamil? Are you demigods from the heavenly planets? Are you sub-demigods, or are you the best of devotees? The order carriers of Yamaraj said, "Your eyes are just like the petals of lotus flowers, dressed in yellow silken garments, decorated with garlands of lotuses, and wearing very attractive helmets on your heads, and earrings on your ears. You all appear fresh and youthful. Your four long arms are decorated with bows and quivers of arrows, and with swords, clubs, conch shells, discs, and lotus flowers. Your effulgence has dissipated the darkness of this place with extraordinary illumination. Now, sirs, why are you obstructing us?" Right? So, pointed out, they have all these lakshanas that would position them as somebody very elevated.
Four arms, that's kind of a giveaway.
Yeah, there, and especially when you're carrying all these weapons, yeah, and stuff like that. But they know they're servants, they're not the Supreme Lord. Yeah. So that's the... Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "By your appearance, you look most well-behaved. By your effulgence, you defeat the darkness and other light. Viti Mitraloka. You appear proper, but why are you acting improperly?" That's the whole thing. Everything looks good, proper, pious, very elevated. But in their mind, because they're following the order of their authority, dealing with sinful people, you know, which is appropriate, then it's considered, they're considering that they're behaving in an inappropriate way. Srila Prabhupada comments, "According to the sinful activities of Ajamil, he was within the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, the supreme judge appointed to consider the sins of the living entities. When forbidden to touch Ajamil, the order carriers of Yamaraj were surprised because they had never been hindered in the execution of their duty by anyone within the three worlds." 32 purport. Right, so that's the point, is what activities you do that would place you within the jurisdiction. So even if devotees are acting in a sinful way, that would technically place them in the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. But because of their devotional service, they're not under that control. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be a reaction for what they do, but that reaction won't be given by the Yamadutas and Yamaraj. That'll be given by Krishna, arranged by Krishna himself. Yes.
So it means that when devotees leave their bodies and they are destined to come here again to, you know, to perfect their lives.
Right, right.
They don't meet Yamaraj, they just...
No. No.
And what's the procedure? It is usually...
The procedure. You need to know. You want to know which office, which paper, which guy, was it before lunch, after lunch, or... You know, was he drinking coffee while he was signing the paper, or you know, was he left-handed, right-handed? Okay, we can skip all that. Okay, so they would just go from here, be either transferred from here to the heavenly planets, and then after that they'll come back and be born in these religious or aristocratic families, like that, but not specifically devotees as such. You know what I'm saying? There's some devotional element there, but it's not, you know, that you would say they're not born in sampradayic devotee families. Right? The other is they would just go from that birth then into birth in the family of devotees. So basically you could say if they are neophyte, they would tend to go to the heavenly planets and come back in these religious, aristocratic, noble families. If they're madhyamas, they would tend to be born in the family of devotees. So that would be without Yamaraj, without anything. It's just material nature arranges it. Means where is Yamaraj getting his power? Right? From Krishna, from the material energy. Right? So all the forms and everything, power he has, that's coming from the universal form. So that's being operated by the modes of nature, by Maya. So therefore, without the universal administration, it's just being dealt with by the big guys. You know, it's just like if you go into the office and he tells you, okay, see the secretary. But he could also just do it himself. Right? So with devotees, then Krishna just arranges it himself. You know, it's not that Maya's not involved, but it's a direct thing, rather than just she does through her offices.
The highest non-devotees, they get a visit from the pleasant... Polite.
Yes. Means pious people, then the Yamadutas come to them in a pleasant way. The journey is pleasant, but it's quick. It's still the same thing. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, they would get a boat across the Vaitarani River, which looks nice.
Yes.
And if they're not nice, then they're impious, then they won't look nice, and the trip won't be so pleasant, and they'll get there, and if they did the Vaitarani, sacrifice, then there'll be a boat, and if not, there won't be a boat, you got to swim, right? But if you're not so sinful, it's just a swim across not that great a river. Mm-hmm. And if you're more sinful than it mentioned, then there'll be all those special aquatics with the razor-sharp fins, and if you're really sinful, then you'll sink in there, and you'll just stay down there, harassed by those guys until the next Yamaraj. This one won't even deal with you. You know, so you have different levels. I say, choose your level. Right? Or chant Hare Krishna, you know, like that. Remember the Lord, go back to Godhead. So that's your options. Right? In other words, then you're born as an Uttama, but, you know, a beginning stage of Uttama within the spiritual world. Right? And so now by association devotees, then you take up devotional service seriously, then you develop that attachment for Krishna, then you become Krishna's associate. Or you're born you're madhyama, born in the family of devotees, and so therefore you are there to take up devotional service, not go to Harvard. Like that. That's for those who are born in the aristocratic families, yes. And like that. They're the ones that go to Harvard. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes. So neophyte devotees and pious non-devotees, they're kind of close to each other.
They're close, but the difference is that one, the results of their endeavors is much greater from the neophyte devotee because they go to the heavenly regions. Those karmis, you know, may or may not. You know, where they'll go, this, that. Plus, there'll be other things there. It's not that the pious person hasn't done something wrong and won't get a reaction for that also. But they'll have all that stock of piety. The devotee is only the pious aspect. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the standard. Is that, yes.
Does the living entity who occupies the post of Yamaraj change every mantra?
Yes. Right. Every manvantara. All these main posts change. Right? Everybody from Indra on down, they all change every manvantara. It's only above Indra than those, they stay longer. Like that. You know, generally it can be, you know, the life of Brahma, or maybe, you know, something, you know, quite significant that it'll be. Like we see when Gopakumar went up to Mahar Loka, then at the end of the, a day of Brahma, so that means you've gone through 14 Manus. Then in the destruction, the fire from the destruction is hot. So it's like, you know, like here in the summer. So they go up to the next planetary system to rest at night because it's, you know, more pleasant and cool. Like that. And then in the morning when they get up, then they go back down to their planet. And so their day is on their planet, their night's on I think, Janaloka. So I guess Jana makes the, how you say it? Makes their money off of tourism, right? You know, so everyone comes and stays at night, you know, so plenty of hotels and, you know, that kind of
thing. And Mahar cannot afford their seats.
It's just, you know, it's just, yeah.
Bedroom community.
Yes. I don't know if breakfast comes along with it. The ultimate B&B. Yes.
If people or children still doing something sinful, like say they're eating meat, what reactions do they get?
You get for both. You get reactions. For your pious, you get good, and for your impious, you get bad. Both go. I'm not sure. I mean, someone like Nriga, he got the pick, but whether everybody else gets the pick or not, I'm not sure. You know. They flip a coin. Whatever matches. Whatever you've done wrong, that's what you'll get. But you'll also get the pious. So if you've done impious, you go to hell, you do all those things. And then you go to the heavenly planets and do all those things. And then you end up back here. You understand? Pious does not counteract impious. That's a hope against hope by the illusion living entity that's how it works. Just like, let's say you have a planet that's a problem, then we think, I'll counteract that. You won't counteract it. The planet's going to stay right exactly where it is. It's not moving. It's not because I got out the ring and then, you know, be gone, you know, like that. The planet moves, you know, stuff like that. No, it doesn't happen. It just creates a favorable aspect, but it doesn't get rid of the negative. You know what I'm saying? It's just like this. Let us say I put lemon in the water. Okay? What happens? It's sour. Okay, let's say I have another glass of water. I just put sugar. What happens? It's sweet. What happens if I put them both in the same glass? Yeah, so that's what you're talking about.
It tastes better.
You always have to balance heaven and hell, right? You know? Otherwise it gets boring. Okay, Corella juice. Does that work any better?
Okay. Mint and watermelon.
Mint and watermelon would be bad?
Watermelon doesn't go well with anything.
Black sugar.
I think you just proved my point.
Yeah. And then family reunions south of the Mason-Dixon. Yeah.
Also.
Goes really well.
Yeah, that's
yes. Yeah? Okay. Everybody's happy.
But those impious activities can be canceled out through mundane atonement.
If you do the atonement, that the reaction will, but not the mentality. So right. The point is, you're going to do it again.
Yeah.
You know, so then at some point, you're not going to do the atonement.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. So only that.
How about when the king executes a subject for his crime, that relieves him?
Then that relieves him of that, but it still doesn't remove the desire. But it means that then, you know, how you say, basically in these things, you know, how they're executed, it's quite quick. So it means the time that you would have spent to do the prayaschitta, the endeavor, all these things is all taken care of in a moment. So, because generally someone on that level tends to not be so inclined to do those things.
Yeah.
Right? So therefore, the government takes care of it. So you get your prayaschitta, it's just a little bit sudden.
Quick, but you have to spend more time in the womb after.
Yeah, no, that's there. Yeah, you have to spend that time and grow up again. And yeah, so it works out. But you didn't. In other words, you don't have the qualifications to do the prayaschitta, so therefore the government does it for you.
Okay.
You know, so you get the benefit. And then all the old ladies, they can get the benefit of, you know, their picnic lunch and getting some knitting done. So. Yes.
Here we see Ajamila in the beginning of his life. He practiced, he worshipped Narayan Shila like that. And somehow at the end, Narad Muni comes and asks his son to be named as Narayan. So, but even though later in his life, he did all abominable activities. So at the end, again he could revive, he could say Narayan. So does it happens with everyone, like someone practices devotional service for some time, but gets into some abominable activities, then he gets...
What's the story for?
No, this is a story, but...
But I'm saying, why have the story if it doesn't apply to anybody?
Like, because Yamadutas are also coming. So if he could
You want the same Yamadutas to show up or something? Are you the same guys that showed up for Ajamila? Well, two of us are. The other guy, he had a lunch night, so, we had to replace him.
In the case, if his son could not have named Narayan...
Yeah, if he had named him Shah Rukh Khan, then he's in trouble. Right? Even if he named him Brad Pitt, he'd still be in trouble.
So, it means for everyone, like, today, whoever takes the name of one...
No, what's the point? I'm not quite getting the elaborateness here.
No, what I'm telling is, whoever has practiced devotional service, okay, and gave up and again got into some abominable activities, they are for sure that they are not going to come in contact with Yamadutas.
If you've taken up devotional service, then you'll never come in contact with Yamadutas. That's the point. So that's why one practices devotional service as, you know, in the beginning of life, so that one falls back onto that. Right? Because when you get older, then you look back on what's younger. Right? Young people, they want to grow up, but older people want to be younger. Right?
So,
at what point it switches? I think at when the year after 29. You know, at your second 29th birthday, that's when it switches.
Why they call it Dirty 30.
Dirty 30, okay. I've never heard that one. Yeah, my mom never made it to 30. She's on her, I think, 48th, 29th birthday.
Okay. My mom did the same thing.
Yeah. It's another way of being forever youthful.
deny.
Yeah.
So it's arranged. If someone at some point has taken up devotional service, it's the circumstances are arranged so they just will not fall down into the hellish demons.
Yes, that's what Guy Krishna says. They're saved from the most abominable type of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And this even includes devotees who don't believe in arranging things like marriages or, you know, other things that, you know, we would do. Even they'll be saved.
Pretty glorious.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It works. Yes.
Is it also said that things that protect devotees from the Yamadutas is Garuda Bell, Srimad Bhagavatam, like in the home?
Yeah. That's just so that they know.
Yeah.
It's not that, you know, you have, you know, just karmis who are not devotees, and they have, there may be some consideration. You know, just that they've gone to that trouble considering that. But the point is, it's just so that they know the symptoms. You know, you have neck beads, and they know, okay, here's devotees. You had something? No. Okay. We'll get there. Not our client. Did they leave their card or anything? Just in case they wanted to switch companies or something. Yeah, no, it's just definitely something to make you serious.
Where did they come at all?
I don't know. It seems to be a phenomenon specifically amongst, I've noticed, it's kind of like when you go farther east than Ukraine and farther west than Japan, kind of north of Mongolia and south of the North Pole, that there seems to be the maximum stories of this. I've heard some really wild stories about a devotee. He was previously... He was, you know, connected with the mafia, and he was, you know, I told that story. Yeah, he's some kind of a, you know. He was one of the ones who would say stuff like, you know, this is good for your health and all that, you know, that kind of. He was that kind of person. You know, you needed a problem removed. He was the one to do it. And so, you know, he actually, you know, met them. He actually got taken down to Yama's place, and then they said, you know, and then they ask him, Yamaraj asked him something, and he quoted something from Gita. Right. So then he turned to the Yamaduta and said, why'd you bring him? You know, he says, you know, this guy like, you know, take him back, you know, it's like that. You know. But then he forgot about it. He got back and just got into the party spirit and that. He was one of those guys in the Minerva caste, I think, you know, 9 months, every bone in his body's broken, one of those kind of things. And then... he forgot, and then one day, just I think he was really out of it, and then that same form of Yamaraj that he saw then came back to him. He just said, you know, you said you're going to get serious when? So he immediately went, got into his closet, found the Gita, looked it up, went to the temple, like that. And so.
Their GPS is not working in that area?
I'm not sure. It's something, I think it's because of the attachment to the mystical experience. You know, just like for some, if wealth comes and they think this is a good process, or anxiety goes, or knowledge, you know, arta artarte jigyasu. So this is a unique kind of blend of, you know, I don't know what would be the word for it. It's like jigyasu, you know, a kind of a jigyasu that's mixed with it has to be mystical. You know, so then I guess those kind of experiences come up just so that, yeah, so then they're, you know, they get an experience that matches the nature. On duty in the hospital. Well, that means where else is, where else do you hang out? You generally don't go hang out down at the, you know, how you say, I'm not sure, other places, you know, down at the yoga studio, you know, or the spa, you know, waiting. You know, it's really, people generally often croak, you know, they have those hot stones, you know, and they're just too hot, burn a hole straight through your back, people die, you know, like that. And, you know, suffocate, you know, they put the mud on, but, you know, then the skin can't breathe, they die, you know. So generally the hospitals are a major place to hang out. You know. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Don't worry about those things. That's what we're meaning, is we get too distracted by these so-called mystical things. But these are just standard for us. Yeah, so, You know, for us it's not, oh, you know, it's just, yeah. You know, they cooked lunch today. Okay, you know. You know, they cooked rice for lunch. Oh, okay, yeah. You know, rather than, well, they cooked lunch. Ooh. They cooked rice. Oh, wow. You understand? So that's the whole point, is one has to get beyond that element, that the mystical is what proves it and makes it solid and everything like that. You know, it was there, nice, and it's not there, so, you know, we're fine. We just hear the stories from the Russian devotees. We're good. You know, so at least, you know, somebody's doing the service. So. Like that.
Checking out if they're still on the job.
Yeah, yeah, if they're on the job and all that. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure you guys are on your toes and all that.
It's good work, boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. Okay.
Are there any boys?
Hmm?
Are there
ladies there? If a boy has a bad hair day, it's bad enough. You know, it's you don't want them to die again. You know, there has to be some, you know, how you say, consideration, some compassion.
Has to be a limit.
Yeah, yeah. But they probably look good, right? You know, leather outfit, you know, the whole thing. Yeah. Could, you know, see him on the front of, you know, goth magazine or something like that. Latest fashion. Okay. Yes.
What if we continue to commission full activities on friend of events, so that's the offense. For that, we will be sent to hell or in the OT state.
Okay. At what point, what part of the words, once someone has chanted Hare Krishna, they don't see hell or see the Yamadutas, don't we understand? You know, do we have to go through, well, you know, if he died in a car accident, will he see the Yamadutas? What if it was a fancy car? What if it wasn't a fancy car? Now, if it was in the car, you know, does it have to be a head-on collision, or can it hit, you know, can it be a T-bone? Or, you know, what if they drive off the bridge and then go into the water? If they died from the impact, or if they died from, what do you call it, you know, freezing to death? Hypothermia. You know, then the Yamadutas come, you know, if they choke on a peanut, you know, don't they die like that? And so, but then does that mean then only Russian devotees, because then they eat the peanuts and they choke on them, but other devotees generally don't choke on peanuts, so that would mean that would an American devotee that choked on a peanut, would he see the Yamadutas, or only Russians, because they're the ones that eat the peanuts? At what point is this conversation going to end? You know what I'm saying? The point's been made. You chant, you do devotional service, that's it. The holy name is so powerful, it removes all sin. At what point are we going to give up this attachment that no sin is powerful on its own, the devil is his own independent, you know, master, and he has nothing to do with Krishna and his creation, and he just does whatever he wants, and he just, you know, flaunts it in front of the Lord, and so...
There is tendency that this will compensate for him, so that will be kind of a thing. So we'll never give up.
Yes, but we're talking about pure devotional service. If you're looking for an excuse to be a rat bag, hey, there's millions of them. We don't have to get to sixth canto. You can already work that out beforehand. You know what I'm saying? Why use Bhagavatam? If it supports, but devotees will be using New Age, that will be the thing for them. And then if they can support with Bhagavatam, yes, you can do that. But we've discussed that again and again and again. We have to give up this attachment that sin is its own authority. Sin means not being Krishna conscious. That's what it means. Darkness means not light. When there's light, is there darkness? like that. Well, what if it's a, you know, what, you know, is that only with regular light bulbs? What about the, you know, these low what do you call it, current ones? Do that remove the light? No. What about LEDs? Do they do? You know, how about halogen? What about mercury vapor ones? What if we just light a lamp? What kind of oil is in the lamp? Now, Vedic mentions the ghee, so what if I'm using, you know, safflower oil, and safflowers you're not supposed to eat in the Vedic thing, so will that actually get rid of the light? You know, how many lights do I have to do? You know, do I have to do one, or I do one of those Hollywood where they have like 200 candles, you know, around the house? Like, who has 200 candles? I don't know. Every Hollywood, they got 200 candles. Where do they get 200 candles? By the time that you, and they're all different. And by the time you light them all, you know, the first ones that are already melted. Yeah, and by that time, the person you're waiting for would have already come home and gone to their room and gone to sleep by the time you get to the 200 candles.
So then you don't mind going through the hose.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah, because, yeah, like that, you know, so, you know, at what point are we just going to go, the holy name is so powerful, and when it's chanted, it removes all sin, you don't see hell, holo, okay, right, you chant the holy name, Vishnu Dutas are there, Hari Bol, right. You know, but it's always this, no, but in my situation, it's this or that guy, that, he can't possibly, you know, one or the other. You know, we can't, you know, we're worried about if we're going to go to hell or the other guy, we think he should go to hell. Shouldn't he go to hell? Stuff like that. You know? And I don't think he should get a bucket either, you know, because I've heard that, you know, people like that going in buckets, you know. Does that make sense? Okay, so we just have to, at some point, just let it go. Like that. Is that okay? Yeah? Yes.
How to talk to the devotees who are attached to the mystical things, and is there actually a way to engage this mystical attachment for Krishna service?
Yeah, sit down, chant Hare Krishna. You know, it's like that one, is what the devotee was saying, that when I chant, there's something like the blue light or something like that, huh? Like that, and Prabhupada said, yeah, don't worry, just keep chanting, it'll go away. You know, they're thinking, oh, wow. You know, no, yeah, no, don't worry, it'll go away. Huh? Maybe, maybe. I never heard who it was. It's one of those where, you know, nobody mentions the name. You know, maybe now, after, now they're both gone, now the story comes out who it is. This is the first time I'm hearing, so. You know, High Agree went before it didn't go, so therefore Brahmananda just went, maybe it was him. But yeah, it doesn't, you don't, you just talk about other aspects, talk about what's important connected to Krishna. Or if that's that, then take that into Krishna. The mystical is just the metaphysical, but you try to deal with the metaphysical on an emotional platform. That's the uniqueness. See, people who deal with the metaphysical, it's mathematical. So therefore, you generally have that scientific kind of brain, so it's, they don't get into that. People who get into the emotional, then the mystical, they don't get into the mathematical side of it. Right? So you get one or the other, they're clear. But then this unique social phenomena, they get into both. They're both technical brain, they like that, plus they like the emotional on top of that. So that's why they're very unique. So you just, whichever way, you just take that into Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter. Yes, but then either don't bother or take it off somewhere else. Or just go, wow, okay, cool. And that's it. You know, when they start telling you about the conspiracy theory and go on for hours like that, yeah, just, you know. Great. Does she sleep all day?
Yes.
Okay. So then she's doing some service. So then, great. Keeps her busy, right? Definitely keeps her off the streets like that, so no one else has to worry about it. Like that. Yeah, but by doing that service, she'll get purified, and then eventually then things will fall into place. Okay.
Okay. According to the sinful activities of Yamaraj, according to the sinful activities of Ajamil, he was within the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, the supreme judge appointed to consider the sins of the living entities. When forbidden, right, because he's the one that will judge them. But it's according to the laws given by Krishna. So ultimately, Krishna is Yamaraj, but, it can be taken care of by someone else. When forbidden to touch Ajamil, the order carriers of Yamaraj were surprised because they had never been hindered in the execution of the duty by anyone within the three worlds. 32 purport. Before even being introduced to a foreigner, one becomes acquainted with him through his dress, bodily features, and behavior, and can thus understand his position. Therefore, when the Yamadutas saw the Vishnudutas for the first time, they were surprised. They said, "By your bodily features, you appear to be very exalted gentlemen, and you have such celestial power that you have dissipated the darkness of this material world with your own effulgences. Why then should you endeavor to stop us from executing our duty?" It will be explained that the Yamadutas, the order carriers of Yamaraj, mistakenly considered Ajamil sinful. They did not know that although he was sinful throughout his entire life, he was purified by constantly chanting the holy name of Narayana. In other words, unless one is a Vaishnava, one cannot understand the activities of a Vaishnava. 34-36 purport. So that's the thing. How can that be? How is that possible? How can they be devotees? Then that's the point. It takes a devotee to know. So that's why we take shelter of senior devotees, because if they can, whatever they say, then that's the way we go. Sukadeva Goswami continued, being thus addressed by the messengers of Yamaraj, the servants of Vasudeva smiled and spoke the following words in voices as deep as the sound of rumbling clouds. Right, so they smiled because it was an interesting question. Mm-hmm. Right, because they're wondering why. They can understand their position, but they're asking, how is it that you in such an exalted position are stopping us from our duty, since performance of your duty is always considered the highest principle? Mm-hmm. Right? So they smiled because they thought, you're not understanding the actual highest principle.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments. The Yamadutas were surprised to see that the Vishnudutas, although polite, were hindering the rule of Yamaraj. Similarly, the Vishnudutas were also surprised that the Yamadutas, although claiming to be servants of Yamaraj, the supreme judge of religious principles, were unaware of the principles of religious action. Right? Because you have religion, but it's all based on Sadharma, eternal religion. Otherwise, like time is based on eternal time. Right? Thus, the Vishnudutas smiled, thinking, "What is this nonsense they are speaking? If they are actually servants of Yamaraj, they should know that Ajamil is not a suitable candidate for them to carry off." The blessed messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnudutas, said, "If you are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of irreligion. What is the process of punishing others? Who are the actual candidates for punishment? Are all karmis engaged in fruit of activities punishable, or only some of them?" Right? Because they've claimed we're servants of Yamaraj, so then they should be able to explain, yes, this is how it works. Srila Prabhupada comments, this inquiry by the Vishnudutas to the Yamadutas is most important. A servant must know the instructions of his master. The servants of Yamaraj claim to be carrying out his orders, and therefore the Vishnudutas very intelligently ask them to explain the symptoms of religion and religious and irreligious principles, right? So a servant must know the instructions of the master. That's one of the four principles of being a servant. You have to know what is the purpose of who you're working for. What's their method, right? Then, yes, yes.
Usually there's the problem of middle management, that they don't understand what is the purpose, therefore they are in that position.
Yes.
This is the same thing.
Or even they're in middle management, if that's their nature, then they will do understanding the purpose, then they will represent who they're working for, and then the people below them will be comfortable working with them.
Yeah.
Like that. So then it can work very nicely. The point is any servant who understands what is the purpose of the person they're working for, the master, then that will always work. It'll be auspicious for their work, their position, it'll be auspicious for who they're working for, it'll be good for everybody.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point. Servant must know what is the purpose of the master. So we say we're servants of Rupa Goswami, servants of Srila Prabhupada, then we must know their teachings, right? So that's why Prabhupada said the study of the works of the Acharya, that's the most important. So we study Prabhupada's books. We study Nectar Devotion. So we know what is we're supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? A Vaishnava, so instead of just they first find out what they know, because otherwise then you go try to instruct, you don't know what they know and what they don't know, right? So you can spend a long time. So, okay, then explain. You say you're a servant, you of Yama, then explain what is religion, what's irreligion, who does this apply to, who's punishable, who's not. A Vaishnava knows these principles perfectly well because he is acquainted with the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So that's the symptom of the Vaishnavas. They know what the Supreme Lord wants. They know his instructions. One who represents someone else must fully know that person's mission. The devotees in the Krishna Conscious Movement must therefore be fully aware of the mission of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, they will be considered foolish. Right? Others, they'll ask you, you don't know. You know, or amongst other devotees, you'll say something and you don't know, like that. Does that make sense? So that's not acceptable. You have to know. You have to study. You have to associate with those who do know, and then at least pick up there, like that. All devotees, especially preachers, must know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so as not to be embarrassed and insulted when they preach. 38 purport, right? Because we're representing Krishna, that's why we shouldn't be embarrassed, right? Does that make sense? That's very different from I go out, I don't know the philosophy, I'm embarrassed by what people say about the Krishna conscious movement, so therefore let us change Prabhupada's books so I'm not embarrassed. So the point of not being embarrassed means I represent the Lord, therefore I can speak what the Lord wants. There's a lot of difference here. You see, one is Krishna's the center, we're a servant. The other is, you know, we appreciate Krishna, but we're the center. Because it's about us. That's the difference. Okay. So that's why a devotee does. He dresses nicely, not because, oh, it looks embarrassing for the movement and I don't want to be embarrassed. You know, we want to improve our social status so I'll feel better. No, it's we dress properly because we represent Krishna and the spiritual master. We know the philosophy like that. We know the culture. We behave properly. We deal properly. Like that. Because it represents Krishna. That's why. Because on the other thing, what does it matter? Non-devotees don't like, they don't like anybody anyway. Right? So there's no question of doing something that they like. Right? So the point is that it doesn't. It's good for Krishna and his mission. That's why. But that's coming from this principle, that the servant knows the desire of the master, not from the modern pranamoyic. No, if you socially look good, you'll be more acceptable. We can engage such people, but the leadership can't think like that. Does that make sense? One who has the power to punish others should not punish everyone. There are innumerable living entities, the majority of whom are in the spiritual world and are nityamukta, everlastingly liberated. Right? The majority. We'll think, oh, the minority is devotees. No, the majority is devotees. Yes.
Right? It's like atheists thinking that most people are atheists.
Yes.
We hear it all the time. No, most people know. Everybody knows.
Yeah, yeah.
There is such a minority.
Yes, yes. That's very good. There is no question of judging these liberated living beings. Only a small fraction of the living entities, perhaps 1/4, are in this material world. And the major portion of the living entities in the material world, 8 million of the 8,400,000 forms of life, are lower than living beings. They are not punishable. For in the laws of material nature, they are automatically evolving. Human beings who are advanced in consciousness are responsible
but not all of them are punishable.
Right. So here Prabhupada's just working on things that are just going to be easy, you don't have to explain. You know, like Prabhupada said, perhaps one quarter, because we know three quarters is spiritual, one quarter is material. And so by nature we'll just think there's this naturally the same density. So then by saying, but he doesn't say there is, he just says perhaps. You know what I'm saying? So it works. It's just so that you move on. You can understand, you accept the principle that the majority are Krishna consciousness. Then within this material world, 8 million of the species are animals, so they're not punishable. So only of the 400,000, which is now again a minor amount. Right? So that means all those in the spiritual world, all those within the animal species, they're not punishable. Only within human, and then within those, some are punishable, some are not.
Didn't it say somewhere that 9 out of 10 went straight to the spiritual world?
That's another thing, but that's the point. Then you have to get into explaining that, and it brings up other questions. The point is you answer something in such a way it doesn't bring up unnecessary questions. That's the you know what I'm saying? No, but it's also the nature that one likes to talk and likes to deal with all these different, you know, things. Issues are fun, so therefore, you know, like that. So the point is if people are not willing to ask questions or are shy to ask questions, when you skirt issues, it may invoke questions. Mm-hmm. But if they're perfectly comfortable to ask questions, and especially on issues, then better to be more specific in your answers. Is that, you know, otherwise, why? That was the whole point of Krishna Samhita. It's written for the Madhyamas, that if someone asks you a question that can get distracted from Krishna consciousness, you answer in this way, they'll drop that side of the question. Then you can actually talk about Krishna consciousness. You know, but what about, you know, the seven sages? That, oh yeah, they're just some, you know, they're just some saintly people, which they are. But it just takes the conversation away, just like they're trying to take the conversation away from the spiritual, the mundane. You're trying to close the door to anything mundane that can distract. That's what it's for. So it's one of those books. You read it, it makes sense, you can use it, it doesn't distract you, great. If it does, you're not supposed to read it because it's meant for mundanes. It's one of those kind of books. But that's the point. So we see Prabhupada here very expertly uses that. You know, like the guy says, so you're wearing saffron. Why are you wearing saffron? Because that goes in. How do you get into all that thing? Like the color, and you know that you know this particular color does this or that or enhances. Then it's, do they believe in color? Do they believe that that comes from the sun? You know, all these different. So why get into that? It says no, it could be any color. You know, I mean, it says yes, it's not important. You know, color. You know, means it's not. We wear white. We wear saffron. It doesn't matter. It means it's, you're situated in devotional service. You wear appropriately, but it doesn't matter. And then the guy says, oh, so it doesn't matter what color, you could wear anything, you know, blue, green. And then Prabhupada, you know, says, yes. And then very quietly says, saffron. Like that, right?
Yeah.
So that's the point, is that, you know, why get into that? Because the guy, he's not going to, oh, so you guys believe in this and that. You know, it's just anything to distract. You know, so you avoid that. Does that make sense? You know, enough that you avoid that, it keeps it on the point, but not so much that people don't think. You know. So, like that. Yeah, balance, right? But it's a think within application, right? So that's what we were talking before. It's not application. The question before, it was not application, it's just, you know, doubt this, doubt that. You know, it's just, it's, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not about applying it. Okay, well, how do I apply that? That's the kind of question you want to get. That's what we see Pariket Maharaj is doing. He's thought about it. Okay, now it's there, but now they're all, everyone's situated in the universe on the different planetary systems according to their material desire and endeavor. So, you know, then how do they stop that process. Right? So then Sukadeva Goswami says, prayas chitta. And he says, no, but that doesn't work. because it doesn't change the mentality. So then, now Krishna consciousness.
Okay. So 8 million of the 8,400,000 forms of life are lower than human beings. They are not punishable, for under the laws of material nature, they are automatically evolving. Right? They're going up through all the species automatic according to whatever is the particular line that they're supposed to go through. Right? Their mentality, that you go through a particular group of animals. Like that. So there's 8 million to match all the different mentalities. So you may be one, you may be a group of them, like that. Human beings who are advanced in consciousness are responsible, but not all of them are punishable. Those engaged in advanced pious activities are beyond punishment. Only those who engage in sinful activities are punishable. Therefore, the Vishnu Dutas particularly inquired about who is punishable and why Yamaraj has been designated to discriminate between who is punishable and who is not. Right? So, since there are those who are punishable and not, he has been designated to do that. So they're supposed to know that as his servants. Yes. Right? You know, you can't just bring anything. You know, if you're in the kitchen cooking, you ask the other person bring some parsley, and then they come back with a broom. No. Come back with, you know, Winnie the Pooh. No. You know, so, you know, they're supposed to know what they're doing. How is one to be judged? What is the basic principle of authority? These are the questions raised by the Vishnu Dutas, 39th purport. Right? So the basic principle of authority. So that's something that's not discussed. What is the principle of authority? Right? So therefore, then, based on that, how do you judge? How do you tell right and wrong? What is punishable, what's not? Right? So these are things that have to be known. 39th purport. The Yamadutas replied, that which is described, so generally Ajamil, it's a nice story that Yamadutas came, but the point of just actually understanding what is dharma, what is the position of a servant, what is the juxtaposition between devotional service and material life, right? These are the real points that are being made. You understand? So as we're coming through, before you see more of the story, and then there's some, you know, this philosophy keeps popping up. And now you can see it's the philosophy, and it's using the story as a medium.
So it starts
to switch as we move through.
And the story is very small.
Yeah, the story is small. You see, it's the smallest amount of verses are the story. Like that. But then the discussion's about it, and it's not just saying, okay, Krishna's God, you know. Okay, yeah, okay. There's Ajamil, and Krishna's God. Yeah, okay. Pitumarj, yeah, and Krishna's God. It means why, how he's connected. Because he is God, so it's unlimited. So we just take a sampling of what Ananta Sesh talks about all day.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Like, because think about it. 7 days, 24 hours. He's talking for 24 hours with 1,000 mouths. So 7 days is done, you know, within a few minutes for him. Right?
The Yamadutas replied, that which is prescribed in the Vedas constitute dharma, the religious principles, and the opposite of that is religion. Right? So what's prescribed in the Vedas, that is what you're supposed to do. That's the nature of the living. That's the nature that you're supposed to follow. Mm-hmm. What's against what's recommended in the Vedas, that's irreligion. Very simple. Right? That's the whole point. If it's Vedic, that's pious. If it's not Vedic, it's impious.
Yes.
Right? So they're not going to get into devotional service, but within piety and impiety within the material world is very exactly described. Because right? Otherwise, you know, they're pious people. That's how they'll know. Yeah. You don't get to Pitri Loka by being non-pious. Right?
The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj. Right?
So they're saying that the scriptures are non-different from the Lord, and so they're not. There's no beginning, middle, or end of them. So, having your adjusting your life in line with the scripture, that's pious, because you're following the Lord. And not doing that, that's impious. Very simple, right?
40. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Dharma is what is prescribed in the Vedas. What is in the Vedas is the nature of Dharma, tattva. And the rules of the Vedas are the measurement of Dharma. Right? So the Vedas is what is the, you know, the tattva and all that. Then the rules, right? So in other words, the Lord, His position, the material world, all this. This is, how you say, the tattva. This is Dharma. So the Lord and, you know, the knowledge of the Lord, the living entity, and the relationship, that is Dharma. Right? Then the rules are the measurement, how you tell if something is being applied in a religious way. So you have to understand, the philosophy itself, that's the Dharma. And then the rules and regulations are how you measure that Dharma, if it's being applied. Right? Because we take it, the rules and regulations are the Dharma. But actually, no, the tattva is the Dharma. Because the rules are just how to express that Dharma. So that's how we tell. Yes, this is connected with culture. Yes, so in other words, the culture is for expressing.
Yes.
That's how you tell. Right? Point is, it's just like when we say, Mother Jashoda's love for Krishna is the primary. The secondary is the activity she does to express it. Right? So, somebody wants to see Mother Jashoda, right? They go in. She's there. She has a nice house. She's arranging things for Krishna. You know, she's cooking or cleaning or giving things for the servants to do or doing things like that. You would expect that as the natural way to express her love for Krishna. Right? Now, if you said you wanted to meet Mother Jashoda, and then someone says, oh yeah, I know where she is, and she takes you there, and you walk into some kind of spa, and there she is with, you know, all that silver tinfoil in her hair, and she's under one of those hair dryers there, you know, talking on the phone, then you might be a little bewildered.
Surprised.
Huh?
Surprised.
Yes, surprised. You know? And now, where are you surprised? Why at this place? Why not that other place downtown? It's so much better.
Where would you drop?
Yes. That's it. You understand? So that's the measurement of it. The secondary is the measurement.
Yes.
The secondary isn't the Dharma. That's the problem. Is that Niyamagraha, there are those who don't understand it, throw it out because it's not important. But they don't understand the primary either, so they end it with nothing. And so what do you replace it with? Something non-Vedic. That's your only alternative. Those who accept the Vedic version, but they only accept the secondary, then they take this is the real thing. They don't understand, no, the tattva is the real thing.
Yes.
So the rules are just to express the tattva.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is why then the primary and secondary.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Niyamagraha is a problem. Why? Because both parties are only seeing the secondary and missing the primary.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
In dealing with devotees, among devotees, we also sometimes judge, not because we are judges, but how to deal. So we base it on the secondary.
Yes.
Because we have no idea of the primary. There are some hints.
No, but we know what is the primary ourselves.
Yeah.
And so therefore, understanding the primary, don't worry so much as much about what their duty is, worry about what is ours.
In relation.
Yes, but still, what is our duty in the relationship? If we do our duty, even if they don't do theirs, at least from our side, it'll work. You know what I'm saying? And at least if 50% of the relationship is working, it's better than nothing. Yeah. Zero doesn't really work very good. You know, it's not that, oh, they're not dealing, so I don't deal. No, that's why you deal still. You know, not in such a way that it can be taken advantage of, or at least minimally taken advantage of. You know, if that relationship's important, then you have to do it. If it's not important, then you don't. You know. So, this we have heard from Yamaraj. Okay, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Dharma is what is prescribed in the Vedas. What is the Vedas is the nature of Dharma. Tattva and the rules of the Vedas are the measurement of Dharma. Because the servants of Vishnu ask about adharma, the servants of Yama describe the nature and measurement of adharma. This also covers the question about the reasons for punishment, right? Because if you're not following Dharma, mm-hmm. right, the measurement of Dharma, therefore there's punishment, mm-hmm. right? So this is now where they're going to get caught. It's because they're saying, yes, the tattva is the thing, but they're actually only dealing with the secondary. They just look at the measurement. So they're looking, he's not following the Veda, you know, because they're looking at he's not following the Veda means he's not following the measurement of the Veda. What they've missed is he's following actually the tattva that he's chanting the holy name. So they miss that's actually the important point. So they don't know actually how to check the measurement. Right? In general, they do. Like, we don't hear of another case really much where they have some mistake.
Yes. No.
You know, they generally figure it out. Yes. You know, so it's going to be very rare. So they're quite good, you know, out of, you know, unlimited living entities. They do pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Right? But now it seems that they have not heard that point from the Maharaj.
The point is you only speak on the primary if people are interested. You don't speak higher if they're not. Like a pious person doesn't want to hear about give up everything and surrender to Krishna. They just want to hear what can I do to increase my piety and my facility. You understand? So that's the point. So you have to ease that in. So they're there just for that. Right? Their relationship with him is the Lord of Dharma. Not as a Vaishnava. You know? So if they're interested, then they'll say. So when they come now and ask, then he explains. So then you introduce this element. Yes. Having been introduced, now it'll be a topic.
Yes.
But before this, he doesn't introduce it. Because otherwise that'll disturb. Yes. You don't disturb the minds of the ignorant.
So it's important to know when to introduce different elements.
Yes. So the point is you want to introduce that it's just a matter of what will work for the person rather than I'm embarrassed to introduce because if it doesn't work, I'm worried about how they'll react with me rather than, you know, they won't, you know, then take up Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. So they're not teaching Bhakti Shastri and Yamaloka?
No, it doesn't seem to be. It doesn't seem to be. And if they were, probably VTE wouldn't approve it. They wouldn't even let the Yamadutas in, right? You know, I guess the way they look dressed. Come on, you can't come in here like this. Like that.
They have dogs.
Huh?
They have dogs.
Yeah, they have dogs also. Though that they might let in. Right? Nowadays, you know, people have dogs. That's cool. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Are people punished for the same way if they're not conscious to their ignorance?
Let's say a child doesn't know fire burns. If they stick their finger in the fire, what happens? Yeah. So there's a basic punishment that will be there. And then the more you're conscious, then you add on to that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So always a basic is there.
What is forbidden in the Vedas is adharma. Doing what is forbidden in the Vedas is the measure of adharma. The Vedas are manifested from the Lord, Swayambhu. They arise from the breathing of Vishnu on their own. Shruti says, Asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam etad yad rigvedaha. The breathing of the Lord is the Rig Veda. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. Right? So, because the Rig, all the Vedas are based on the Rigs themselves. So Rig Veda is all the Rigs. So those are the basis of all the others. Everybody else is based on that. So others would generally have Rigs and things like that within them. Samaveda, all the songs are based on a rick. You know, there may be just one verse, but then they may have so many, or there may be one for one, like that. That's another thing. But the point is, the rick is the basis. Because before it's all one, so you have all the ricks within, and so that all the everything else expands from there. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments. So we'll hear about Prabhupada's comment later.
Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.